This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord God, where would we be without those who have gone before us, who carved out paths for us to follow, who endured as Jesus did, mocking, flaying, torture, even death, keeping faith by the power of the Spirit, restored through the gift of forgiveness when they slipped, so that renewed they could continue to proclaim and serve. Among them, we remember today especially those precious to us. Tell them we love them, we miss them, and long to be with them again once we have given back over days and years whatever is looked for in the earthly life you have entrusted to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I say to our school children every Wednesday at Eucharist on this feast day, I say to you, good morning, saints. Seems a little weird, doesn't it? Let's make it a little weirder. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and if you don't know their first name, you're going to need to find it out. And I want you to say to them, Saint Ramon, pray for me. Whatever their name is, Saint Wendy, pray for me. Do it right now. All right. Well, we now know how to make you laugh. Sounds weird, doesn't it, to hear your name with a saint in front of it? But as I tell our school children, there is a list of saints in the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer that was printed in 1979, and there have been some we've added since then, but there are still a lot of slots available. And today is about us claiming our sainthood. It sounds weird. It sounds a little backward, just perhaps as that gospel would have sounded to Jesus' hearers today. What I like to do on this day, to remind us what this day is all about, is to look in our catechism as to what the communion of saints means. And if you would take out the Red Book of Common Prayer that's in your pews and open to page 862. And third from the bottom on page 862 in the catechism part of the Book of Common Prayer is a carefully worded answer to the question, third from the bottom of the page, what is the communion of saints? And I would invite you to read with me the answer to that question. The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. Wow. The whole family of God, everybody. And then at the end, bound together in Christ by sacrament. In some mysterious way, when we gather at this altar for Eucharist, we gather with the entire family of God until that day when we are gathered at the heavenly table in heaven together. I love that. Wow. The living and the dead. Those who are saints now, those who have gone before us that we remember today. I love that. But then, those whom we love and those whom we hurt. I don't like that one so much. That's a little harder. And by deduction, those who love us and those who hurt us, all part of the communion of saints. I think as we celebrate this sainthood to which we all are called, today is a day for us to remember how important it is for us to do what we can to mend the relationships that are mendable. This line in the Catechism does two things for me. Number one, for me, it gives me great hope for heaven, because there are too many people who have walked out of my life without having the relationship mended. People who have chosen to take their own lives. People who had some sort of disagreement for something I did or didn't do or they perceived, and they're out of my life and they died before we got it straight. It is a reminder to me that there's still hope for that to be mended when we're gathered at the table in heaven. But it also issues a challenge to us. Those people that we're on the outs with, you might as well try to get it right now, because if we don't get it right now, guess what? We get to do it as job number one in heaven. It is a challenge for us to bring the family of God as one. This practical call we are given is given to us in very striking ways in Luke's presentation of the Beatitudes. You know, we know the one probably by heart from Matthew, where Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up on the mountain, and there is this metaphorical platitude of all of these beautiful sayings he gives us. Blessed are the poor. Very important stuff. But Luke's different. We didn't hear this part of the pericope today, but right before he gives the Beatitudes in Luke, this is what he does. He has spent the evening in prayer up on the hill, but then when Jesus had come down from the hill, he stood on a level place with a large number of his disciples. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, a little different. He's talking to his disciples directly. He's not up giving metaphorical pious platitudes. He's coming down to their level and he's looking them in the eye and he's saying this to them. And he's saying it to us too. He says, blessed are you poor. He doesn't say, it's a great thing to be poor. Everybody that's out there poor, you're wonderful. He's looking at them. And he's saying, blessed are you poor. Why? Because he's talking to those who are on the journey with him. And he's saying, blessed are you poor who are on this journey. And you know what? Your finances aren't what you thought they were going to be, but you are going to be blessed because you are on the journey and I am not going to forsake you. You are not alone. Blessed are you when people revile you, when people make fun of you. He doesn't say that that's a blessed thing just for that to happen. He's looking at his disciples in the eye and looking at us in the heart and saying, you are blessed because you're on the journey. And even though this is going on, I'm not going to forsake you. You are not alone. The communion of saints. We are never alone. God will not forsake us. But we are not to forsake each other. This communion of saints, as best we can bring about the kingdom on earth, is our call, as is our call to holiness, to sanctity. You know, we hear in Daniel today these four beasts, and it sounds scary, but remember what happens. No, it's the holy ones, the righteous one, who are going to triumph. Paul tells us today, this is your inheritance to be saints. Grab it. live it. We're going to celebrate it here shortly with Mackenzie as she's baptized. This is what we have been given. You know, sometimes we think it is all about us doing these incredible things. You know, well, let's face it. I don't think there's any one of us that are going to be flayed alive like some of the saints were. None of us is going to be burned at the stake like Joan of Arc. But we are still called to be saints. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian writers ever to write in the English language, wrote a book called The Great Divorce. And he's got a little section in there where there are a bunch of people who are touring heaven, sort of deciding if they want to check it out and stay there or not. And this is what happens. They get there, music fills the air, lights are dazzling, and a parade is underway. One of the tourists says, well, who's the parade for? Could it be for a military general? No, comes the answer. Well, for an artist? No, again, the reply. Ah, I should have known, the tourist says, it's for a bishop. Most certainly not, is the reply. Your own experience should tell you that that's not the case. Well, who's it for then? The answer comes, it's for Mrs. Smith of Golders Green. Why for her? The answer comes, because for an entire lifetime, she loved her husband and her cat. We sometimes think it's about doing these incredibly great things. It's about doing a ton of little things with great love. We are called to be saints. If I were to ask you today to name the winners of the Nobel Peace Prize for the last 3 years, I bet there's no one in this church that could do it unless you're a Jeopardy champion. I have to give that caveat all the time in a crowd like this. I bet if I asked you who won the Miss America or the Miss Universe pageant for the last 3 years, there's not one person who could get half the names right. I bet you if I went through any major award that the world would look upon as being that which would bring you acclaim, there's nobody who would know the answers. But I bet you if I asked you this, the answer would come to you immediately. Name for me a teacher in your life who had a positive impact in such a way that it helped inform you to be the person you are today. The heads are shaking. We all have those people in our lives. Whether it was a Dennis Hill whom we celebrate today or somebody else, there was somebody, and you remember them. If I was to ask you, who is the person in your life, whether it was your physical mother or some other motherly person, whether male or female, who taught you by giving to you the unconditional love of God and unconditional acceptance of you, I bet you there's not a person in this room who could not think of one, if not many, people who did that for you. We have the Charlene Storms. We have the Beverly Warnkeys, who we remember today in our lives. We have the Lottie Spiss, who we remember today. The Lottie Browns. If I was to say to you, tell me somebody in your life who, when you got to a point when your resources were depleted, and somebody came to your aid to help, I bet you there's not a person in this room who couldn't name at least one person who did that for them. The George Putnams in our life abound. Nobel Peace Prize, Miss America Awards, teachers, motherly, compassionate loving helpers. This is what we remember. This is what we are called to today. This is what we celebrate. So let us grab our inheritance. Happy feast day, saints.